Hey guys,
I'm Ashton Childress here with Lauren, Jeffrey, and Anna Marie Jones, and we're going to talk about Symbolism in Looking for Alaska by John Green.
So let's get into it.
The first symbol is the organization of the book. How did y'all feel about how this book was set up?
Well, it wasn't set up in chapters. It was kind of like a countdown. So it started off with 136 days before, and that just kept counting down until the big moment of Alaska's death. And then after that, the book didn't end. It continued to count. It didn't count down, but it would say, like, days after. So it ended with 136 days after.
It's like a perfect cycle, sort of. Mm-hmm.
So the countdown definitely made you keep reading to find out what it was counting down to. Mm-hmm. And then you didn't even know what happened until the end of the book. So you'd still have to finish.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, it definitely gave you a sense of timing.
And it was important because, like, the countdown, like, we were always looking forward to see, like, what was happening. Like, we had all these different predictions. But then afterwards, it sort of showed how the characters grew into the acceptance of her death. So that was, like, a really major point of the book because it was basically half of the story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you didn't really find out what exactly happened
until the last
very
few pages.
End of the book.
Mm-hmm. The next part is the setting. How do you think the setting shaped these characters and the story of the book?
Well, they were in a boarding school and there were not a lot of authority figures present, so you really got to see, like, the independent teenager, I guess, and how they grew as teenagers and, like, philosophically as they were asking themselves questions throughout the entire book.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was important because, like we said, there weren't many figureheads. I mean, of course, like, the eagle, who was the headmaster, I guess you would say, of the boarding school, he was always trying to catch them doing things, but the lack of authority really allowed the characters to be adventurous, and you can see that with their lack of judgment and some of the things they did, like drinking and smoking and such.
Yeah, definitely at the smoking hole, it was kind of like their safe haven. Mm-hmm. All their secretive plans came together there, and that's where they hung out and did all their teenager stuff.
As well as the barn, where they would hide away after pranks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and lastly, the white flowers. That was a huge symbol in the book. How did this play into Alaska's story?
So I guess, like, we could see them talking when they were in the barn. Alaska told her friends about how when she was a child, her parents would put flowers behind her ears. So that showed how flowers were important to her as a child. And then it was also kind of funny because, or not funny, but at the end of the story, she had flowers in her car, the white tulips they were.
Yeah.
And they were from her boyfriend, but she was going to her mother's grave. And she always put flowers on her mother's grave on the anniversary, which led to her death because she had missed it and she was upset with herself.
Yeah, you can see the transfer of the white flowers starting in the beginning and it's still in the end. And definitely the white symbolized purity. So when she was little, you would think, oh, they're so little and pure and cute. And then when she died, she also had the pure flowers in her back seat. So it's kind of still there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the moral of the story. What do you think that John Green, why did he write this book? What was his purpose?
Well, in an interview, he said that I wrote the book because I wanted to explore whether it is possible to reconcile yourself to that ambiguity, to live with it, and not let your anger and sadness over the lack of resolution take over your life. Is it possible to live a hopeful life in a world riddled with ambiguity? How can we go on in a world where suffering is so distributed so unequally? So I knew from the moment I started the book that we would never be inside the blue Citrus, which was Alaska's car, with Alaska on the night that she died. So that also draws the question, like, why do we think, like, how did Alaska die? Because the question was posed whether it was suicide or whether it was actually an accident.
Yeah, and it's never really explained in the book. It's left up to the reader to decide how they think she died. So
that's one thing I didn't like about the book, is how it didn't tell us anything. And the death in the middle kind of ended it for me. Like, I feel like the death should have been at
the
end.
It was the climax,
and just a whole other story. I was kind of bored reading it after. So I don't know if I would recommend this book. I guess for, like, summer reading.
I enjoyed the book. It was easy to read through it quite fast, actually. I mean, I liked it.
I would recommend it because it did pose a lot of questions, and it was, because people tend to look at teenagers and their emotions in, like, a negative way, or, like, they're just being emotional, it's all hormones, but the way that he wrote it really made it seem that we can actually go through a lot of problems, too, and I did really like that. It was relatable and very philosophical.
Okay, so I think that's the end of our discussion. We can leave you with the quote Alaska said at the beginning of the book, "We might have lost the battle, but mischief always wins the war."